For the benefit of those listening on the recording, hopefully you'll be able to be back with us in the next week or two. If you want to have a look at the pictures that accompany this sermon, they're available either through a link just below the website or as a PDF on the email that I sent out to church members yesterday. And my plan is, see if it works out, when I'm changing slides, I will cough. To help us think about our Bible reading from Psalm 8, the set of pictures I've downloaded, well, some may recognise as being from an Australian ministry I've used a few times over the years called The Lost Sheep, whose resources often feature a sheep who goes by the name of Cecil. And we're to imagine that these slides are Cecil imagining things as he and his friends read Psalm 8 together. I'm not sure if we went to see that as well as being unusual in being yellow, Cecil is also very unusual for a sheep in being able to read, or if one of his human friends is helping him with that. Like almost all of the other Psalms, this one has got quite a focus on what God is like, but quite a focus too on the nature of you and I as human beings. It begins, though, by thinking about God. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. And it goes on to spell out the ways in which different parts of the world around us bear witness to the greatness of the Lord who made it all. You have set your glory above the heavens. Those words encourage Cecil and his human friend, and all who use this psalm too, of course, first of all, to look up at the night sky. That might seem impressive enough, especially in the days before electric lights, when it seemed far, far brighter. But rather than giving worship and glory to the sun or the moon or the stars themselves, as many did in those days, these words may be meant to remind those who use the psalm that God's glory surpasses even that of the heavens above. The psalm goes on to say how God has stilled the foe and the avenger. Some versions speak of their being silenced. If there are people who very loudly say that God doesn't exist or can't be good, the psalm sees their words being overpowered, not by those who are bigger or cleverer, but rather through the words of young people. Out of the mouths of babes and infants, you have established strength because of your foes to still the enemy and the avenger. When in church, we encourage people to respond to God, to give him praise and to mean it and to let him be in charge of our lives for the rest of our days. Well, it's a great thing when any person for the first time says, yes, I'll do that, and means it, whether they are old or young or somewhere in between. I love hearing stories of people who are older and wiser coming to faith. But if a person starts giving God praise and letting him take charge of our lives when we are young, if you think about it, that can mean just about a whole lifetime serving him. And that could be one reason why this psalm speaks of God's particular delight in seeing children especially putting their faith in him. The psalm writer then returns to the subject of the night sky, explaining how thinking about what was above posed a really important question. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him? Now, later on in the Bible, this psalm is seen to be partly speaking very specifically about the Lord Jesus, as he often referred to himself as the Son of Man. We'll have to leave that important side of things to another day, though. For now, I want us to focus on what people in Old Testament times would have understood by these words. And they are simply saying that when the writer thinks about the vastness and majesty of our world, a reflection which for him was especially prompted by looking at the night sky above, he is amazed that the one who made it all, God, cares about ordinary human beings. For he knows that whether a person is a grown-up or still counted as a child, somebody else's son or daughter, a son of man, God is interested and concerned about each one of us. Knowing God's care is a wonderful thing. But as well as that, he grants us huge privileges and responsibility, as the writer goes on to explain. Yet you have made him, us, a little lower than the heavenly beings, and crowned him with glory and honour. Kings and queens sometimes wear actual crowns to reflect their honour and importance. And our artist has imagined every single person awarded a kind of crown of flowers to reflect the importance that God gives to each one of us. Not quite as great as the heavenly beings, the angels, but we still matter a great deal to God. And the honour and importance God has given human beings is shown in reality, the psalm writer tells us, by the fact that it's us who are able to be the masters over all the other animals that the Lord has made. You have given him dominion over the works of your hand. You have put all things under his feet. And the writer then mentions specific groups of animals. All sheep and oxen. Though this set of pictures generally imagines Cecil the sheep being able to be involved in thinking about God and his world just as much as human beings, well, the artist knows that isn't actually true. And human beings have no difficulty taking charge of sheep, of oxen or cattle, or indeed of any of the other domestic animals that we keep in our fields. And also the beasts of the field, the writer adds. Human beings have for thousands of years been able, if we're careful, to control other animals too, even those that are far bigger and stronger than we are. The birds of the heavens as well, and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the seas. For us today, as we read these words, we think too of the responsibility that all this gives us. When the psalm was first written 2,500 years ago, there were quite a lot of people, 100 million on the planet, they reckon, which seems a huge amount, but the planet really is quite big. And today, there are 80 times as many of us. Along with that, there's the development of technology that means that the human race is much more of a threat to the rest of creation now than ever it was 2,000 or 3,000 years ago. And so we need to be far more careful in the 21st century to think of ways in which our dominion over the rest of creation could be in danger of severely damaging it. Fortunately, the same God-given minds that have enabled us to be in charge should also be able to help us work out how we can do much better at looking after God's world. Though, as we all know, it's not going to be easy. On to the last slide and to the conclusion of the psalm. As the writer reflects with his friends, he doesn't finish by saying how great we are as human beings, but rather, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. When we reflect on the world, we can see, both here on planet Earth and up above, if that's awe-inspiring, how much more amazing is the one who made it all. If we think human beings are impressive, and in many ways we are, both as individuals and in what altogether we can do as well, how much greater is our Creator God? And so we are encouraged through this psalm, as well as understanding better our place in God's world, to understand far, far more and to praise more too the majesty of the one who is Lord, not just of the earth, but indeed of the whole universe as well. Amen.